Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Yes.
How great.
How great is our God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So worthy.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Great is the Lord.
Yes.
And greatly.
Yes.
To be praised.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
We thank God for his abundant grace.
Yes.
And his, I don't know what to even call it. I had run out of words. I tried to come up with some words and can't say enough. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Because his word is just so awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And he's been exceedingly good to me.
Me too.
Amen.
My Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
My Lord.
Thank you.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We're in the midst of a great time of celebration.
Yes.
And we thank God for letting us be here again.
Oh, yes.
We've come to the second Sunday in a new year.
Yes.
Amen. And it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're not going to try to keep it too long here today, but we do have a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know, I like looked okay when I came in. I don't know how it looked when you got here. Amen. But see, I always tell people on my job, when the weather's bad, we definitely want you here today. If you're going to take off when the weather's good. But I need you here today because it's bad, you know. So we should feel that way about the Lord.
I mean,
we get up and go hit the clock and,
yes,
you know, and we think that where we work is putting food on our table, but it really is the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So if he allowed me for going, this is my 30th year. And I've been going there for 30 years. Nearly. I mean, coming up. I'm in the 30th year now. And when they need you, they want you there, and you need to be there even more when it's bad. Amen. So I say, far be it for me to not at least give God equal footing on that. You know, in fact, I would rather be in the house of the Lord. I'm kind of like the psalmist. So I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Amen. But God is truly your provider. Amen.
Yes, he is.
He might do it through your employer, your however he does it, but he is the one at the controls. Amen. Amen. The Lord will provide.
Yes.
Now, last week, those of you who were here, I'm going to give just a brief recap because some people may not have been here. So you can kind of understand we're coming into the middle of a discussion here. On first Sunday, we were talking about harnessing the power of persistent faith.
Yes.
And that's kind of been the theme running through our service here this morning.
Yes.
Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, I know there's a Bible scholar sitting out here. I can hear the word coming back to me, and that's okay. Amen. Faith is the substance. It says now, first of all, faith.
Yes.
Is the substance of things hoped for,
yes,
and the evidence of things not seen.
My Lord.
So we were talking about harnessing the power of persistent faith. So I'm going to add some thoughts to that same idea this week. And you'll kind of get the gist of what we talked about last time also in the message this morning. Amen. So what we want to do, I was talking about, what does it mean to harness? Think, the idea of a harness makes you think of what? What do you think of when you hear the word harness?
Hold on to work.
Hold on to what else? Anything
the
else?
Rain.
Huh?
Rains. Hold on to the rain.
Rains, okay. And what are rains normally on?
On the
hearts, okay? Or some kind of animal. You're trying to control that animal, right? Trying to harness him. Now, who's the strongest if there's a situation where there's a horse in you?
The horse
is more strong than you, isn't it? So you put the harness on him so you can do what? Use his power. See, he has power. And we even still use it today, even though our vehicles and our transportation have nothing to do with a horse. We're always talking about, I got a car with 300 horsepower. You know, we still use that idea of the horse to talk about the power of the vehicles that we operate. You know, it might be a 500 horse engine and a big 18 wheeler that pulls all that weight down the road. So how do you harness that power? What happens when you can take control of that power?
All right.
Okay. And that's what we're talking about. How do we get faith The Bible says without faith, what is impossible? To please God. Mm-hmm. Why? Because those who come to him must believe that he is.
That's right.
See, that means you believe there is a God.
Right.
You know, even though you don't see him, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of what things not seen. You don't see him, but you know he's there.
That's right. Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
So how can we harness the power that God has given us? It's not that we want to so much control anything, because we already know. For we know, Paul says in Romans 8, that what who God works what? All things together for good of those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
So we don't have to really worry about it. It's way above our intelligence. It's way above our pay grade that God can do some stuff. He can do, like the Bible says, exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. So it doesn't depend on my intelligence or what I know. But God has made this power available to people who walk by faith and not by sight.
Right.
See that?
Amen.
So we're talking about how do we tap into that power and harness that power to use it in our lives. And then when we look at the examples that God gave, he gave us so many examples in his word of people who persevered by faith.
Yes.
Hebrews 11 is a famous chapter for that. You all know in Hebrews 11 it talks about people like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Sarah, and different people of faith who persevered by faith.
That's right.
When we look at the model of their lives, we see that they didn't have just a life with it was all roses with no difficulty.
That's right.
We see trials, we see tribulations, we see all kinds of different struggles that they had in their life.
Yes.
There was all kinds of stuff that was not really what we would say is good or ideal, but yet we see God, people like Ruth and Naomi giving perseverance to people so that they can make it through whatever they had to go through.
Yes.
How about Daniel, famous prophet? But yet he was taken out of his home after the city was destroyed and burned, and God protected his life, took him into the captivity.
Yes, he
went through the captivity.
Amen.
You know, and there's some things in the text that are kind of, they slip right by you. He had all kinds of things happen to him. They took away his future prosperity. The Bible says that he was among the eunuchs.
Yes.
Now, I don't have to tell you all, some of y'all might know what they do to eunuchs. The eunuchs are the people who attend to the king and his harem and all that. So the king makes sure nobody else in here is going to be touching my harem. You know, so he gives them a very, very outful surgery. So, I mean, you can go through a lot of things, and yet that doesn't mean God has forgotten you.
That's right. Amen.
You would say, oh, that was wicked that they took him through that, him and his friends. You see? But they went through it, they survived, and they were able to press through by faith, and God used him to write a very instrumental prophetic book in the Old Testament that kind of unravels Revelation for us.
Yes.
See, so Daniel's life meant something, even though he went through a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. None of us, I don't think, so far have suffered anything that bad. We look at some of the stuff we see about the prophets and different people. Jeremiah was thrown into the prison.
Yes.
It was an awful situation, but God used him to prophesy about things that are yet to come, even today.
Amen.
We could go on and on looking at the heroes of faith.
Yes.
But just to summarize that, Hebrews 12 says, seeing that you have such a great cloud of witnesses there, he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now look at the cross.
Right.
Even the Son of God came out of the splendor of heaven, face to face with the Father, like we read about in John 17 this morning.
Right.
He had a glory with the Father even before the world began.
Amen.
But he divested himself of that equality with the Father and came into the world to purchase us back from the sin problem that Satan had introduced to Adam.
Amen.
And contaminated the whole human family. Amen. So look what he did by faith. And you can say he's God, okay? Yes, he is. But he did a faithful thing by becoming flesh in order to dwell in the world, to pay the debt for all who trust and believe in him. That's the most famous story in all of time.
Oh, yes, it is.
We could even say his story is his story, if you will.
Amen.
History is his story. I'm going to have to break that down so y'all don't think I'm stuttering at what I'm saying up here.
Amen.
History of everything going on in time is his story.
Amen.
See? And it's not out of his control.
Amen.
Even when we see stuff that looks reckless, reckless going on in the world.
Yes.
There's plenty of it too, isn't there?
Yes, it is.
Look at the stuff that just looks reckless that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tragic.
Yes.
Every time you think you heard the worst thing you'll ever hear, something comes along and tops it.
Yes.
You think, well, I heard that's the most horrible thing I ever heard. Have you ever said that?
Yeah,
and then the next day you flip on the news like, oh my goodness, you know, this is even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets worse and worse. You think somebody's running a contest for who can come up with the most jacked up situation.
Yeah.
You know, and you keep seeing another one. Like, boy, well, you know, I was going to get this other one in the top billing, but now it looks like all of these is whack. You know, and it may even happen to you. You might have some stuff in your life that we would say today, just to put it in modern terms, that's whack. That's, you know, it's jacked up. We don't even, you know, some stuff in our life that we don't even like.
Yeah.
But yet in all that, God has given faith. Did you know that if you have faith, that God gave it to you?
That's right.
The Bible says that faith is a gift from God.
Yes.
It's not by works. You cannot earn faith.
No way.
You see, the Bible says, for by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
It is the gift of God.
Yes.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't have anything to boast about.
No.
See a lot of boasting going on too among Christian circles, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we did. You know, getting all kinds of accolades to themselves. You better try to take some Rolaids and back up and read your Bible. Forget the accolades. You need some Rolaids. Anyway, let me go ahead. Let me not get off track here. Or some Pepto-Bismol or something. I don't know. But you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself.
That's right.
But in either case here, let's look here. We see, so last week we looked at Solomon had given us some words, wise words. In Ecclesiastes, he said, there's a lot of stuff out of your control. I'm just going to summarize what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about it. Because if you sit and worry about the stuff out of your control, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do nothing. You'll be frozen with just doing nothing, sitting vegetating. Because like, oh boy, if this happens, then I can't do that. And if that happens, I can't do this. And you go around and you won't do nothing. You'll just sit there and rot.
That's right.
But you know what? You got a clock ticking against you. So you need to understand that God loves you. He put you in the world to impact the world for his glory. That's what you have to remember.
Yes.
Under everything. Everything we do should be for his glory.
Amen.
We start that off by assuring the fact that we are saved.
Yes.
Because that's what he wants you to do. God wants you to be saved.
Amen.
If he wanted to wipe us out, it would be easy.
Amen.
As we said last week, he could have wiped Adam out on day one. You sin, dude. Bye. See ya. Then there wouldn't be any mankind. No one would be in this room or anywhere on this planet. But God didn't do it. Why? Because he loves you. He loves man. He made everything first and turned it over to man to show you how much he loves you. You know what? Think about this. The devil usurped authority, but Jesus bought it back.
Yes, he did.
He bought it back. And you know why he did? To give it to you.
Amen.
He bought back that authority to give it to you who believe in him.
Yes.
Because it was taken away from man. And so there's still a lot of people who don't believe. There's still a lot of whack situations going on in the world.
Yes.
But Solomon said, don't let the stuff you can't control lock you down from serving God so abundantly, even though it looks like it might not be getting you anywhere. That's what he said in Ecclesiastes 11:1. If you happen to not have this message, you want to back up and get it, you can. It's online at sttmbc.org. And then we said, Paul said, of all people, in Philippians 3, he said, whatever things were gained to me, I look back at my life, and I said, okay, I've been living all these years. I came up the right way. I was in the right family.
Mm-hmm.
We were worshiping God to the letter of the law.
Yes.
And all of that in Philippians 3. And he said, but when I understood the gospel, that I cannot be saved by works, no amount of works can save me, but God sent his son. So that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I counted everything I used to count as gain.
Yes.
As skubalon is the Greek word. And we say that the King James translated it dung.
Come on.
The best English word is a word we don't say in church.
Yes.
So he said all that was just a bunch of dung.
There you go.
I'm going to leave it alone. And so he said, but in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, this is better. Why? Because you find out it was a plan God made in eternity to send his son into the world. He did it at the right time in history.
That's right.
Right now, we say it's been 2,015 years since God sent his son into the world. The calendar is a testimony to the fact that God sent his son into the world.
Amen.
It doesn't testify of anything or anyone else calling itself a religion, so don't let the smooth taste fool you. I'm going to come right with the commercial here. Just because they talking, they ain't got no proof. But you do have proof. Your calendar tells you 2015 years ago, Messiah was born. And people may not like that. I'm preaching the calendar this morning. Because the calendar testifies of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Pastor, yeah, we know he was born, but how can that help me? Because if he had died and they could have showed you the body, there wouldn't be a church today.
Amen.
All they had to do was produce that corpse.
Right.
You see, there was no corpse. Why? Because he is risen. He is not here, but he is risen. That's what the angel said.
Amen.
And so if they could have produced the corpse, there wouldn't be a Christian church today. But God made sure you understand those facts. The fact is the world is configured around his son, that he came into the world to save you from your sins. He died on the cross. We all know about that. You know, and God raised him from the dead. And there would be nothing to preach if he hadn't gotten out the grave. But since he did, understand why he did that. He did that for you because he loves you. He knows you and I have a problem with sin. That we can never be clean in his sight unless his son makes us clean. Since he still loves you and he never ceased to, he has loved you every second of your life. Even when you were conceived in the womb, the Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed you to be the person that you are this morning.
Amen.
You know, he knew about the trials and the troubles that you would go through.
Yes.
He also understands that going through trials and tribulation is what produces faith and patience in your life.
Amen.
And so it's very important to learn to harness the power of persistent faith. Even when trouble comes into your life, you need to grab a hold to the truth. Let that be the reins that guide you. And move that thing into the direction that best glorifies God.
Amen.
This is how you put a harness on that situation. What some people do, stuff starts happening, trouble comes in my life, and I crumble up in a little ball. And I can't function.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just out of it. And sometimes we may have to have periods of that just to get past the flesh. Because the flesh is weak, the Bible says. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And our flesh, we might crumble and crush under a certain situation. But don't stay there too long. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
Think through it. Understand God loves you. He knows what you're going through.
Yes.
It didn't take you out, whatever it was. You're still here. Get up, give him praise, and press on toward the mark. The Apostle Paul had to learn that. And that's what he said there in Philippians 3.
Yes.
He says, I forget those things that are behind and look forth unto those that are before. And I press toward the mark for the high upper call of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, and I realize I haven't gotten there yet. There's a deeper walk of faith yet in my future. I can trust him even more and be more bold for Christ in the future. So I'm pressing to get there. I'm going to keep on pressing until I finally see that I see him and am like him. Because I'll see him just as he is. So he says, I'm going to press to the last day I had to take a breath. I'm going to keep pressing. So he had that persistent faith. If you want to look through the Bible, and I don't have time to hit them all today, I'm trying to give you a framework to study your word with here today. Look at all the people you see. Joseph, imagine what he went through.
Yes.
God gave him a dream when he was a child.
That's right.
It looked like all of that was dashed to pieces as he became a slave and was sold by his own brothers into slavery. His father was told he was dead.
Yep.
Imagine the heartbreak of Jacob and then his son being separated from his favorite son all those years. Not that we should have favoritism and all that. We learn a lot of lessons about what we go through in the word. But we do. These are the kind of things people do. You might have been the favorite child. You might have been the black sheep of the family. Just depends on where you fell in the mix and how much people understood that.
Yes.
You know, but this, all these things happen, and this is the normal stuff of life. You know, and one of my sisters, she used to say, why I always have to lick the bar? when we be passing our food, did she get there late? Too late, the food is gone now. And she would be mad, you know. And so that was the kids doing that to her. That was nobody else, you know.
Yeah.
And she had to scrape the bottle, as she said, to get down in there and get what she needs. Well, people do these kind of things. This is the way families are. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't have, we don't get along so well with one another, or we don't treat each other equally.
Yes.
Within a family. I'm not saying that's good.
That's right.
But these are the kind of things you have to put in check by faith. Realize whatever you went through, it didn't really destroy you because you're here.
That's right. Amen.
It didn't destroy you. You're here this morning. You know what? It made you stronger.
Amen.
Whatever it was, no matter how you may have been neglected or whatever might have, how you felt about it along the way, or what kind of situations you went through.
Yes.
There's a lot of people going through a lot of changes in the world. And it's not just you. Everybody does.
That's right.
But having the good attitude, that's what this text is about here. And I haven't even read it yet, but I'm going to go ahead. You have it in front of you here. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. And there's a lot of things that challenge you to do the right thing. So I want to talk to you about having persistent faith against the grain, okay? The grain is that which is normal about a thing, okay? It's that which is normal, just the way it normally is. Okay, the world is fixed on the grain of the world, let's put it this way, is anti-God. It's against God. It's against Christ. It's under the prince of the power of the air, it says in Ephesians 2:2, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. A whole lot of people want to just push God out of the way, and we want to enjoy everything you gave us, but we want to do it our way. We got a whole lot of folks in the Frank Sinatra Club. I did it my way.
Yes.
And I'm going to do it my way, and let me do my thing. And sometimes Jesus even said, riches and treasures makes it worse, because you have the illusion that because I've got riches and treasures that I can do anything I like, and you disregard God. I don't need God.
Yeah.
I heard some rich people tell me that one day. I don't need God. God is a crutch for a bunch of weak people. I said, oh, really? And he said that all the way till he was laying up on a sick bed. And then all the money you got can't get you off that bed. Now, how about that? You see what I'm saying? So people have an arrogant attitude sometimes when they're rich. And they want to trample over other people. And that's you. You weak. That's why you need God. No, you need God because you can't take your next breath without him. You know? And the fact is, you should understand that you can do more with what you have and be more of a blessing with what you have if you trust God. And then they wonder, how do people who don't have so much get by? They wonder about that. People who have a lot, you know? What I mean? And so Jesus says sometimes that the riches of this world poison your mind.
Yes.
And it's not bad to have riches. You know, money, God, that was God's idea.
That's right.
The world runs on money. We need a lot of money to do what we want to do here.
Mm-hmm.
We want to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not going to be free.
Yes.
You go down to the TV station, they don't care how much faith you have, how many dollars can you write on this check. You know, so I'm not teaching against money or wealth or prosperity or any of that. We need plenty of it to do the work that the Lord has given us to do.
Amen.
But we want to have money in the right perspective. We want to have money, but we don't want money to have us.
That's it.
See, we want our purpose and our intention to be clear why we need the money and what we're going to do with it. See? And so we're going to reach out to the Lord. And this is not all necessarily about money. It's about everything. General happiness in your life.
Yes.
You shouldn't be just discontent, even if things are not going the way you expect.
Amen.
Because you know what? That's what Solomon was talking about. He says, God sees everything, and he's going to balance it all out before it's all done.
Yes.
When it gets through, it's going to be to your benefit.
Yes.
And to your glory. No matter what you're going through, it'll be to my glory, and it'll be to your benefit. I'm glorified even more when I take somebody who the world has kicked to the curb,
yes,
and I bring them up to a place of prominence.
Yes.
That gives God even more glory.
Wow.
Because we have a story about how we came about the pit, and God brought me all the way to the place where I am now.
Amen.
So God develops those type of things in the lives of people who trust him.
Yes.
Now, you know what? He had done this for Israel, and I'm going to try to summarize this because our time is short. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, you'll see it on your sheet there if you have it. The whole 29th chapter, keep in mind, is at the end of the life of Moses. Moses had broken the law. basically while he was being, first of all, he was threatened to be put to death. You remember that? Over in Exodus, because the Pharaoh had gotten sick of all those Jews being down there in his land, who had migrated there from the days of Jacob. And they started to multiply into millions in the land of Goshen. Joseph had become their savior. And the Pharaoh said, another Pharaoh had arose after Joseph died, the Bible tells us, that didn't know Joseph, didn't have that relationship with him to understand that he was okay. And now he left all of his people here in the land of Goshen.
Yes.
Which was northern Egypt. And he started to say, hey, you know what? If these people turn on us, we got a problem. If an enemy comes against us and there's this many of them and they turn and side with the enemy, we got a problem. We need to get rid of them. Well, how are we going to do it? Let's do some perpetual genocide. Start killing the male children. That's and they'll stop multiplying and we'll keep the women for ourselves. That's how powerful men think. They're always thinking about we want to regulate the women. Cut the men out. We just cut them out, get rid of them. See, kill them up on the birth stools. When they be born, then we'll take the women for ourselves and they'll have our children. And that'll fix that problem. You see, and so Moses lived during that time.
Yes, he did.
He was the child of Jochebed and Amram. And then Jochebed loved her son because he was a beautiful child. Yes. And so she floated him in the reeds in a basket, gave him away and asked God, protect my son. And as you all know, the story goes, the Pharaoh's daughter saw him float in the basket in the reeds, took him in for herself and raised him. Oh, this is a beautiful child, even though he was a Hebrew. And he was raised in the Pharaoh's palace. He was there for 40 years learning. He went to the best schools in Egypt. He knew all about everything the Egyptians knew. Plus, he knew what the Hebrews that were still there also in captivity. So he knew about his brethren and his family, and life was not bad for him. See? And then when he got to be the age of 40, long story short, he killed an Egyptian.
Yes, he did.
And then he was a fugitive. Did you know that? That Moses was a murderer?
Yes, he was.
People hear that and go, what?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he murdered an Egyptian and fled into the land of Midian. And to get away. And he was on the run, if you will, running from the Egyptians, who were the most powerful people on earth at that time. And he stayed there for 40 years, and he was there with Jethro, the priest of Midian. And there he met his wife, Zipporah, we would say. Zipporah is her name. And he had children there and all that. He planned to just stay there. I'm cool over here. This is all good with me. You know, I got everything I need right here. I got my wife, got my kids, got my flocks, my herds.
Yes.
Everything's going well. And God spoke to him in a burning bush.
That's right.
On the backside of the desert. Told him, the ground you're standing on is holy ground, Moses. Get on back up there, tell that Pharaoh to let my people go.
That's right.
And he put him on a mission at the age of 80. And so he goes, as you know, the story goes, this is a real quick summary of Exodus here. He goes back, he confronts the Pharaoh who was there, and he basically becomes the savior of Israel after he smites the Egyptians with 10 plagues and is delivered by God through the Red Sea on dry land into the promised land. Just as God had promised. This is a way quick summary of the Old Testament. In the promised land, basically, they were there in the wilderness of sin, the Bible says.
Yes.
And Moses led them. There was really only supposed to be 11 days.
11 days.
For them to get to the place where they needed to be when they were passing through the wilderness. Deuteronomy starts with that. You'll see it in the first part of the book. So this, where we are now, and I just said that to jet you to where we are here in chapter 29. Moses is nearly 120 years old now.
Wow.
And here he is now, after he's been out here for 40 years, circling around a mountain with the children of Israel, trying to get them to understand that God is the great God who is basically the only God, and he is the God of great faith.
Amen.
And some of this stuff you all are doing, the reason you're not getting anywhere is that instead of you being a sanctifying agent to the people around you,
Amen.
You are practicing the same stuff they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You act like you didn't hear anything God said. And so that's where people fall off. And you and I have a similar problem. The reason we have a problem is we're in the world and we're watching all this stuff in the world, and it's glamorous. and it looks like it's fun, but we know that time is short. That's one thing we do know. But I want you to see just one thing here, looking at this Deuteronomy passage. I cut in at verse 19. Really, I would like for you to take homework today. Whenever you get home, read from chapter 29, the first verse, all the way down, and you will see that God has kept the people no matter what they've done. They have whined and complained about the treasures of Egypt and what all they left and all that. They act like Moses is trying to hurt them. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when people are trying to tell you the truth, you shoot the messenger. Because you don't really want to hear it. Because you know it's something I need to face myself about where I am in life. Mm-hmm. And so Moses now has been with them 40 more years. He is near the end of his life by the time these words are penned that we have before us here. In Deuteronomy 29, he says, "And it came to pass when he heard the words of this curse." God speaks a curse against anyone who is against him, but he has blessings for everyone who is with him and for him. And you get a choice. You get to choose whether I'm going to serve God or walk in the way of the world. The curse is upon the world, even though it looks like it's being blessed. The people who obey the Lord are the ones who are technically being blessed.
Amen.
So God says, "It came to pass when he heard the words of this curse that he blessed himself in his heart." This is somebody who's not doing what God said. They blessed themselves in their heart and say, "I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart, and drunkenness, and add drunkenness to thirst." So you can say whatever you want and ignore what God said and say you're going to have peace anyway. Yeah. And you may have an illusion of peace.
That's what it is.
You see, but it's after the imagination of your own heart if it's not what thus said the Lord. Right. The Lord will not spare him. See that?
Yeah.
But the anger of the Lord, he says here, and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. Talk about that. Who's what section you'll be in, smoking or non-smoking.
All right.
Says here, the anger of the Lord shall smoke against that man. See that? In other words, God is trying to let you see that his anger is a terrible thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
That's right.
Then the Lord will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Mm. See that? And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law.
Yes.
In this book of the law.
Yes.
So that the generation to come of your children. See, God's always merciful to the next generation.
Yes. Yes.
That shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come in from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which the Lord had laid upon it, and that whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. He says it's going to look just like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
Completely destroyed. Now that's an example of people who rejected the counsel of God and did their own thing. And all God did was accelerated the choice that they had made.
That's it.
When you make the choice to be men with men, women with women, you choose death, because there won't be any reproduction.
Right.
It's just a slow process. Eventually,
yes,
everyone who chooses will be dead.
That's right.
And you won't have any descendants. You see? And so God has accelerated the choices that they had made. Now notice this. "Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land?" Done unto this land. "What meaneth the heat of his great anger?" Why is he so mad? We always want to know, why is God so mad? Some stuff we see is the direct result of God's judgment. Even in Israel today, who generally as a nation reject God. Did you know that? So look through here now. We got this. You have to go through the dark side before we get to the bright side.
All
here
right.
We go.
All right.
"Though then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt." See that?
Yes.
"For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they know not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and he cast them into another land as it is this day." Now notice this verse. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." See that? There's stuff God is going to reveal to his people that we don't know.
Right.
You know what Solomon said last week? You don't need to know.
Right.
You just obey him. Go on forward. Sow anyway, even though it doesn't look like it's going to benefit you. Sow into the kingdom anyway, because God's going to bless you. He's going to bring some stuff from around the corner. You didn't even know it was coming, and bam, it's going to be a blessing on you. That's the way he does. And it doesn't make any difference how many people are doing the wrong thing. You choose to do the right thing.
That's right.
Choose to trust God.
Amen.
Don't lock up and sit up and do nothing. That's what some people do.
Yes.
Move forward in faith. Be persistent to reach out for that thing that you know God has put in your spirit to do. You have to go against the grain. The grain is basically everybody wants to go for themselves. And people act like there will never be a day of judgment.
Yes.
They ignore the fact that God has promised that there is coming a day of judgment. You know what? If you're saved, you're not even worried about judgment.
That's right. Amen.
You don't need to be.
Amen.
Why should you be worried? And God gave his son for you.
That's right.
Jesus has already been crucified on the cross for the ones who trust him.
Yes.
Basically, the only judgment you and I who trust Christ are going to get happened already on the cross.
Yes.
Christ was crucified for your sins.
Right.
If you believe him. And that's all the judgment you'll ever get. He was forsaken for your sins and for mine. So that's the judgment for those who trust God. God provided it already. That's why you wonder, with a good deal like that, who could reject it? How can you reject what God already did? He allowed that ugly, hideous thing that happened on the cross to be done for you. And he sent the church into the world, and we're still here broadcasting. You know what? We're going to be here. I don't care how many wars happen and what kind of destruction and what kind of diseases and pestilence. I don't care. I really don't. You know, guys, I have no reason to. I have a purpose in life.
Yes.
And this purpose is to preach the good news that God gave his son. It's on your calendar. Anyone you pick up your smartphone. Look at that date. That date is about Jesus. Pick up your tablet and you will find out Jesus is mixed in your tablet. Because he already died for your sins. You can't deny it. History is his story. And you and check it out. I always tell people, go get your history books and you check it out. Find out, didn't Christ die on the cross? Find out that no one could find the body because he was risen. Find out, was there not testimony from his apostles who saw him go up and disappear into a cloud?
That's right.
If they could have produced the body, there wouldn't be a church.
That's right.
There'd be no church. And there wouldn't be all these perversions in the church.
Right.
You know, and what you have to do is learn to go against the grain with your thinking. The whole world is trying to make it illegal for you even to discuss. What people do when they have problems with sin, they first of all, they try to legalize it.
That's what they're doing.
Let's legalize that, then it won't be sin and we won't feel so bad about it.
Right.
So just as it was written that God is sanctified the believing descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were called Israel, he utilized the benefits of their interactions with him to maintain a distance between them and the unbelieving people surrounding them. Did you know that's what the church is for? It's to sanctify you, to bring you into a higher level of understanding in God, so that you don't just blend in with the culture.
Amen.
That you have a new way to look at stuff.
Yes.
You have a new way to evaluate who you are
and
what you're doing, where you're going, and what your purpose is.
Yes.
So you don't have to go around fearful like everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm not fearful of anything. I hear about terrible stuff all the time.
My Lord.
You know, this doesn't mean be foolish either. But you don't have to worry about terrible things that you keep hearing. They keep wanting to say, oh, there's going to be a comet coming in and it may smash into the earth. Oh, well, okay, whoop-de-doo. I doubt it seriously. Poor global warming is going to destroy us all if we don't start taking care of greenhouse gases. They're talking about stuff way over their head.
Yes.
Well, that's why it's so cold now. And it was cold all the way down to Louisiana. God says, how about this? You want some global warming? How about 30 degrees in Louisiana? You see, that never happens this time of year. And he did it last year too. It was the coldest winter on record. You haven't heard him saying much this year in the last couple of years, have you? Because you're talking about something you don't even know about. You don't have the intelligence to understand a fraction of what you're talking about. But you want to ignore God. And God said this, and I always tell people, your verse ought to be Genesis 8:22. God says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease as long as the earth remains. That's it. I'm done. The word of God has already spoken on that subject. So I don't care what you see or how you interpret it. God said it's going to be like it is until the end, as long as the earth remains. I trust him. So you got to get like that, where you have a persistent faith against the grain. Whatever the popular thing is, discount that. If God told you different, trust God.
That's right.
You know, and I won't tell you anything unless I can point to it in the page of Scripture. That's the dedication of this church. We will never tell you anything we cannot back up with Scripture.
Amen.
So if you got a problem with what we say and you can't digest it, come and see me. I'll sit you down, open your Bible, and show it to you in the Word. And we promise to do that. We won't teach anything but what's in the Word. You see? And so that's what you can be guaranteed of here at St. Timothy MB Church. Is that you will hear the Word of God. If you got a question about anything I said, I can back it up with Scripture.
Amen.
Okay? And that's where you need to be. Trust God against the grain. Don't let the world push you around. You take a stand on the truth. Set your mind, Paul goes on to say here. Let's move to that quickly. Our time is about gone. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. That's going to be against the grain. You're not thinking about what's going on down here necessarily. You got to carry on with life, but don't let them push you around and scare the daylights out of you with hogwash.
Yes.
And the Word of God has told you the truth.
Amen.
Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now tell me, where could you be more secure than with Christ in God? Think about that. Tell me of a better or more secret place than that. Tell me of a more sacred place than that. There isn't any. In Christ, in God. That's where you are if you trust and believe the gospel. Now when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, that lets you know he is coming back. He said he's coming back on the clouds with power and great glory.
Yes.
They might think, oh, there comes the comet. No, that's Jesus. And he's coming to get me. And all those who believe in him. And you ain't going to even understand it because you think it's coming, but we're going to be caught up.
Yes, we will.
To meet him in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Word says.
Yes.
So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. See that? Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. These are modern forms of idolatry.
Yes.
These are the things we have to harness and master.
Yes.
The body wants you to take a sensual walk on the wild side.
Uh-huh.
Somebody wrote a song like that. Hey, baby, let's take a walk on the wild side. Oh, no. We ain't walking over there because we're going to get in trouble over there. We're going to take a walk on the matrimony side.
There you go.
And righteousness and holy living. You see? Stay away from immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. Greed gets so many people in trouble today. They want so much that they violate so many things against God and against themselves and against man. Now notice, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. That's where we came from. We came out of a decadent lifestyle. When you were living in them, we used to live that way. We rolled like that before we got saved. But now you also put them all aside. Look at that. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self. See that? Who is being renewed in true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Godless living is easily adopted by the masses who choose to legalize and even moralize godless behavior. I heard about a TV show, and I'm just going to mention this. My time is really gone. They were putting it on about married men who had lust and impulses toward other men. And they said they were talking about that on the show. Then the station owner decided to pull that from the network because it suggests that there's something wrong with being homosexual. I said, oh, it suggests that there's something wrong with being homosexual? It suggests. Oh, yes. Well, they act like there's something wrong with that. And so we want to take that off. So now you want to moralize something that's already immoral. And you want to turn it into, you already legalized it. So now you want to moralize it and say there's something, oh, it's nothing immoral about that. And it's wrong to suggest that there is. And they go on and on with that in all kinds of different areas. And you know what? The whole thing, that is the worst kind of slavery, is to be in a cage of something like that and you deny the word of God.
Yeah.
See, and so that show was pulled from the channels. It'll probably end up back on. I don't know, because I haven't been watching it, but I just noticed it the other day. Now notice this. It says here that the godless behaviors to the point of making even criticism of such behaviors criminal by anyone who continues to stand up for that which is the truth as stated by God in his word. Therefore, our faith must become developed to the point that we choose to apply our faith against the grain of the majority. The majority are going to be saying marijuana is fine. Let's grow it and sell it everywhere. Because they want to try to legalize and moralize drug use. And we'll see that going on and on. That's the trend of the culture. And I expect that it'll get worse because they're allowing it more and more and more. So the people of God shall be protected by God, who has promised to preserve the salt of the earth and to bring wrath on all defectors and perpetrators of anti-Christian philosophies through their stubbornness against the grain of his love for them. See, they're going against another grain. That's the grain that God said, I love you, and I'll deliver you from anything, no matter what you're struggling with. I can deliver you. I can give you power over stuff that has had you in bondage all your days.
Yes, he can.
But you got to come clean.
Yes.
You need to understand that I gave my son to publicly display him as crucified to the whole world to break you free from whatever it is you're struggling with. And we got to be serious. We got to be for real about this, because God loves us. That's why he gave Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
And so the people of God will be protected by God, who has promised to preserve the salt of the earth and to bring wrath on all defectors and perpetrators of anti-Christian philosophy through their stubbornness against the grain of his love for them, which he publicly displayed to all the world by the offering of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who has been indelibly embedded into history and into everyday life of all people.
Yes.
Nobody can really deny Christ. What are you going to do? How are you going to explain the calendar? See, it leaves everybody without excuse for failing to believe in Christ Jesus and God's unmerited favor. How can you excuse your way around it? If the calendar is based on the birth of Christ, and it is.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Not based on anything else. Why is it 2015? Why? Because Jesus was born.
All right.
2015 years ago. Is that a myth? Are we all living our lives based on a myth? That's a fact.
Yes, it is.
You know, go anywhere. Look anywhere. Go to the Department of Vital Records.
Yes.
Down there, everybody's birth certificate is recorded based on his birth.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere on the planet. It's not just in America.
That's right.
On the globe, the whole planet.
Yes.
There's a few odd little sects of people who deny the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Jews, since they rejected Christ, they still go by the lunar calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Their lunar calendar is correct all the way up till 2015, 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they still are keeping time based on the way they were before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it doesn't make them right. They have rejected Messiah. And the trick thing is that it's written in the word that they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the veil is going to be taken away from their eyes in the latter days.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they are going to see that he is the Christ. They're going to look up on me whom they have pierced and mourn for me as for an only son.
Yes.
That day is coming. Won't be long. The blindness of the Jews will be turned away.
Oh, yes.
And yet all Israel will be saved. That day is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you still see the Jews. Why come this little group of people have just been rubbed out and everybody in the world hates them? We don't hate them, we love them.
Amen.
Yeah, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Because their blindness is a spiritual thing, just like it is with other people who have other sin issues. They're no different than people who are stuck in any sin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, but we want to let you know there is freedom.
Yes, it is.
In the cross.
Amen.
Jesus is able to set you free, whatever it is.
That's right.
We got issues, I know. All of us do.
Right.
But we're in the business of staying with the truth. Stay in the truth. Jesus said, and I told them this morning that this is one of my very favorite verses. I say that about everyone, so I'm guilty. Every verse I read, I say, well, that's my favorite verse. And that's the way it is. I really feel like that.
Yes.
But I said John 17:17. I think if I had somebody force me to make a choice, I would probably say John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. His word is true, and it's what changes us. But you know what? We got to go against the grain of the culture and go with the grain of God's love. God loves you.
Amen.
No matter what you're doing. You know he loves you because he proved it.
Yes.
Christ crucified on the cross proves he loves you. This is how far I will go to set you free from whatever you're struggling with. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to reciprocate and love him back?
Yes.
If you do, he'll save you.
Yes,
he will. Not only that, but he'll clean you up.
Yes, he will.
The apostle said, I'm going to make you, you've been fishing for fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Amen.
You know what we do? We catch the fish, he cleans them.
Yeah, all
right. I can't clean you. I don't know what to do. I got some stuff I need to have cleaned.
Yes.
You know, so I have to have him clean me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's willing to do it.
Yes, he is.
But don't go against his word. Have persistent faith. Stick with the word.
Amen.
If the word says it's right, it's right.
Yeah.
You can trust God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
You know what? If you can trust him to make the sun, the moon, the stars,
yes.
God knows what kind of science went into that. I don't know. You can give everybody on earth all the computers, all the time, all the money, all the whatever they need.
Yes.
Tell them, make one grass seed. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You can't do it. Much less the sun or the moon or anything like that. They say they understand that, and we know all about the. There's 75 more galaxies over here. Yes, well, you are so puny, you need to repent and get saved, dude.
That's it.
Amen. Quit thinking you have it all together. You don't.
Right.
You don't. And I'm not fooled at all. And I hope those other folks are not fooled into thinking you really have it together.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you figure it out, you'll be in the grave.
Right.
And you still won't have figured it out.
Right.
Then you're going to see God. And bam! There's the Holy God.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen. It's going to be a shock to you.
Amen.
Because he loved you all your days.
Amen.
Every single one from your conception until you went in the box. And you said, oh, there's 49 more galaxies we need to figure out over here. All your life. Repent.
Amen.
Right? And believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you shall be saved. Don't say God is wrong. You know who's wrong? Me.
That's right.
I'm wrong. So we want to just offer you an opportunity to come.
Yes.
If you're here today, if you are saved, you can still come at this time.
Yes.
If you would like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we're here. We're dedicated to teaching you the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it clear as we possibly can.
Yes.
If you don't understand it, as I said, we're here and we can make special time to explain and teach you and train you in the Word. So we do want to ask you to come at this time. If you'd like to be a member.
Amen.
Or if you would like to,
amen.
Anybody, come right now.
Come to Jesus.
Don't be ashamed to own him.
Come to Jesus.
He will not be ashamed to own you.
Come to Jesus. Just now.
If you're looking for a church home, come right now.
Jesus.
We're here for you.
Jesus.
We would be overjoyed to be able to teach you. Amen. Come at this time. Don't be ashamed. Amen. We're expanding our facility, and we hope to expand it even more so we can receive and have other modes of ministry to minister to whatever it is that you need. Amen.
Only trust in him. Only trust him. Just now, only trust him, only trust him, just now.
Amen, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is calling, just now, he is calling.
We see that we have someone here who has come that is very special to me and to my wife.
Amen.
And we're going to give Sister V time to take information. She probably already has it. I think you do, don't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Brother Oliver Jones, Christian Experience.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We know God has been working with our son.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank God
Hallelujah.
For it.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if you want to tell them about some of the blessings that you have received.
Thank
anybody,
you,
if you like.
All right.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
He just got a job with Coca-Cola.
My Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
And he I told him what happens is you apply for a job that looks like nothing's going to come, then all of a sudden when you get one, everybody starts writing.
Amen.
We got another one from the city of St. Louis.
Amen. Amen.
So now the floodgates of God's favor has been opened up to us.
Amen.
So we thank God for you.
Yes.
Thank you for your new, fresh commitment.
We'll
give you the right hand of fellowship.
Yes,
all
Lord.
Rights and privileges of St. Timothy MB Church are extended to you.
Whoa.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.